Thank you. I don't think I've had such a learned introduction as that in quite a while. I really appreciate it. I learned something really good. We learned from our teachers. I had a Rebbe who used to start the shiur in high school on the first floor. He used to go up in the elevator. By the time he got off the elevator, he would come in. He would say he's already been through 3 or 4 toasts and he's not going back. And we caught up, so I guess I sort of must have picked that up. But in any case, thank you very much. Well, ladies, that's quite a reputation to live up to. I've actually gotten a little slower. My daughter just gave birth to what amounts to our 7th grandchild today. So I think when you're a grandfather 7 times, thank you, without the Leine Hora, you're a little bit slower than you were, but hopefully it will be exciting. So I'd like to do a large piece with you in the time that we have, and you have it in the Daf Mikorot. I'd like to create a major machlokes between Rashi and Ramban. I'm not creating the machlokes exists, but I'd like to show you how this machlokes works in Sefer Shmos, in Sefer Vayikra, in Sefer Bereshis. I'll leave Sefer Bamidbar and Barn for you to figure out, but we can talk about it. And it really is a much larger point in the Torah, and it has a lot to do actually with how Sefer Shmos is really laid out before us. There is a pretty famous machloket, and I'll see if you know it, you don't have to, but if you know it, you can chime in, I'll ask you to comment. Pretty famous machlokes between Rashi and Ramban. You have it here on the left hand side of your screen about the structure of Sefer Shmos. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Having to do with Chet HaEgel, sort of giving it away. Having to do with the Mishkan. Oh, so what is the machlokes? Good. What is the machlokes? Somebody want to help me out here? We'll read it. What's that? Oh, good. So, right. The Milim Tzarog, and then we'll look at it inside. Rashi assumes, and he's got reason to assume it, that the Chet HaEgel, which is listed in the Torah only in Parashas Kisiso, towards the end of Sefer Shmos, really belongs where? Right after the giving of the Torah, right? Yisro Mishpatim. Right after the Torah is given, or as the Torah is being given, that's when the Chet HaEgel occurs. And so the fact that Chet HaEgel is pushed back, way back, into Sefer Shmos, and not only is it way after the parshios of the Torah being given, but it's also after the parshios of the building of the Mishkan. Truma and Tetzaveh, which come before Kisisa, are all about building the Mishkan. So according to Rashi, the Torah is, so to speak, and not in a bad way, of course, out of order. Says Rashi, that's the Yesod of Chazal, the Gemara Pesach and Davov, Ein Mukta B'mucha B'Torah, even though normally speaking, generally speaking, most of the Torah happened exactly the way it's written. There are times when the Torah purposely was put together, so to speak, out of chronological order. In this case, why was it a good idea, can we imagine, for the Torah to push Chet HaEgel later in Sefer Shmos? Why?
So people want to say, like, right after Mishpatim.
Yeah, it really is L'chvodam shel B'nei Yisrael, right? In other words, you don't want to say the Torah was given, B'nei Yisrael did a big Chet HaEgel, and finally they got the Mishkan. So the way Sefer Shmos is laid out according to Rashi is, B'nai Yisrael got the Torah, right? Then it cuts to the building of the Mishkan, which is really after the fact. And then later, when it's a little bit more gentle, the Torah goes to the very difficult parsha of the Chetai. Okay, that's the way Rashi learns it. How does the Ramban learn it? And we'll see it inside in a moment, but let's just do the diagram. How does the Ramban learn Sefer Shmos? It's not out of order. Oh, but so if it's not out of order, what does that mean? What's the sense of it not being out of order? Key according to the Ramban is that, according to the Ramban, there would have been a Mishkan whether or not there was a Chet HaEgel, right? And the way it comes out according to Rashi, B'nai Yisrael got the Torah, they sinned Chet HaEgel, then the Mishkan was commanded to them to be Mechaper for the Chet HaEgel. Ergo, if the order is Matan Torah, Mishkan, Egel, it's out of order because it should be A, B, C. In fact, it's A, C, B. According to Ramban, everything's in order. There was always meant to be a Matan Torah in Sefer Shmos. There was always meant to be a Binyan HaMishkan. Once we get through with the, how shall I call it, the intended program of Sefer Shmos, The Torah mentions Chayit HaEgel because that wasn't exactly what the Torah had in mind. That's what Bnei Yisrael did. But the rest of it is all very much in order. Okay, let's look at it inside. And then I want to ask you the question, what's the deeper machlokes between Rashi and Ramban? Let's see if we can formulate this machlokes, not just in terms of they did sin, they didn't sin, but let's see if we can see how the Ramban and Rashi have a fundamentally different, it's obviously not a negative machlokes, it's a positive machlokes, as to how the Torah works vis-a-vis Bnei Yisrael. Let's look at the Rashi. Let's look at the Rashi again and look at the Ramban, and I'll ask the question again. First Rashi, top left-hand side, Vayitein el Moshe. This is in Parshas Kisisa, where it repeats that the luchos are given. Ein mukdam luchor v'Torah, masa egel kodem letzivu ha-mishkan, lech ha-mishkan, yamim rabim hayah. The chet ha-egel is way before Truma and Tetzaveh. Alright? Shaharei b'yud zayin b'tamuz nishtabu ha-luchos. On 17 Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the luchos, right, which were started Shavuos time, like 40 days. He comes down Shavuos of Thomas, and what does he see? They sort of built the Egel, and therefore he breaks the Luchos, the Yashakawach Shishibarta. He did the right thing. Ubiyom HaKippurim Nisratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. And it took until Yom Kippur for Moshe Rabbeinu to, so to speak, convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Bnei Yisrael and to get permission to work on the second luchos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And they only came down, he only came down with the second luchos on Yom Kippur. That's why the Mishnah says at the end of Masechet Tanis, Lohoyu Yom Tov Yisrael Ki Yom HaKippurim V'tuva Av, two best days, two greatest days. Yom Kippur is a great day. Everybody's sobbing, why is it such a great day? So the Gemara gives two reasons, right? A day of Slichin Kapora, that's great. And the day that the Bnei Yisrael got the second luchos. Salvation, that's how I point out, it's not 1 and 2, it's 1a and 1b. The fact that Bnei Yisrael could recover from the Chet HaEgel on Yom Kippur by receiving the second luchos, that's the greatest evidence of Slichu Mechila. Right? So it's a double whammy, it's a double-edged sword, it's a double power, a double shot of kapara. Even from the Chet HaEgel you can do tshuva. And that's why Yom Kippur is so special. But all that's happening before there's any Mishkan Ba'ofek. There's no Mishkan on the horizon. First you have to get the whole kapara, you have to get the second luchos, it's now Yom Kippur, right? Ula macharos, only right after Yom Kippur, hischilu b'nidvas ha-mishkan, v'hu kam be'echad b'nisan. Only after Yom Kippur was this mechila, they started to collect for the mishkan, and it took a while to put it up, took till Nisan to put it up. So everything is way out of order. Okay, but again, ein mukdam luchor b'Torah. Chazal understand this. This is part and parcel of Torah. All right, so that's Rashi's opinion. Again, we're going to look for the underpinnings in a second, but let's look at the Ramban and see how differently he learns it. And the Ramban talks about this in a few places in Sefer Shmos, but nowhere more clearly and more powerfully than in his Hakdamah to Sefer Shmos, which is really should be required reading for everyone. So you and me, let's do it. Here's the Ramban. Hishlim hakosef Sefer Bereishis. Ramban says, Sefer Bereishis was finished. Chazak, chazak, benit, chazek. And what's that about? Shu Sefer HaYetzira b'chidush ha'olam b'yetziras kol notzor. All the creations were created in Bereishis, right? And the same thing of the Avos. B'mikrei ha'avos kulam shehen ke'en yetzira l'zaron. The creation of the Jewish people started with the Avos, right? And all that was done b'nei shekol mikrein tzivui devarim lirmoz l'hodiyah kol ha'asid l'avolah. Here the Ramban invokes his famous principle, which he mentions many times explicitly in Sefer Bereishis, Masa Avos Simen Labonim, what happens to the Avos will happen to their children. So we need to look at all that history, I don't mean in the secular sense, all that religious history, in a very, very clear way. The Acharei Shishlim HaYetzira, Hischil Sefer Acher, Binyan HaMasa HaBomin HaRimazim HaHem. Now we start to actualize what happened to the Avos. What happened to the Avos? The Avos had all kinds of problems, and Be'ezras Hashem, they solved them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them to solve the problems. That's now going to happen to Klal Yisrael in a macrocosm. They're going to have a big problem called Shi'abud Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Goel them. And that's exactly what happens. V'nisyache, Sefer, the Elish Shmos, B'yin HaGolos HaRishon HaNegzar B'feirush U'B'Geulami Menu. So Shmos is about Sefer HaGolus, the HaGi'ulah, the English title Exodus for Sefer Shmos, according to the Ramban, is pretty good at a half a title. The first half is the getting ready for the Exodus, right? And it is really the slavery in the Exodus. Getting ready for the Exodus. The second half is what happens once Bnei Yisrael gets out. Very good. And that's why the Torah starts again. It backs up the Parashas Vayigash, tells you who went to Mitzrayim, because it now says what happened to the Avos as Yechidim under Hashgachas Hashem will now happen to the nation on a whole, right? Also, the Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact is, while I think about it, who was the first person, the first individual to be Mishuabat the Mitzrayim? All pretty good, right? A lot of the Avos somehow landed up in Mitzrayim and it wasn't a happy time, right? They managed to get out pretty quickly. The Yosef answer is a very good answer, right? Yosef was Mishubat in Mitzrayim. In fact, it just so happens, why all these Pasuk so I'm not sure, but he had a son named Ephraim Yosef. That's my first name. Ki Ephraim Elokim Be'eretz Onyi. God allowed me to have a family in the land of my Oni, means the land of my suffering. But he had just said in the prior pasuk that he had Menashe, the first son, Kinashani Elokim Mikol Amaliyim Mikol Beis Avi. God allowed me to forget all my tzaris that happened to me here, and the fact that I had to leave my father's house. I'm okay with that now, because God will help me. So then why is he calling Mitzrayim the land of my suffering? He's not suffering, he's doing very well now. The Targum translates, explains, Eretz Onyi, Eretz Shibudi. What was Yosef's problem now? He was a big success in Mitzrayim. If Yosef would have come to Paro, either in Parshas Vayigash or even in Parshas Vayechi, and say to Paro, listen, Paro, I've got a pretty good job here for you in Mitzrayim. You know what? I'm, you know, getting older. I'd like to retire. I'd like to go to my retirement destination of my choice, Eretz Yisrael, who knows, right? Right? The system is up and running. People can figure out the food. So I'll be leaving now. What would Paro have said to Yosef? You're going nowhere. You have a lifetime contract in Mitzrayim. You could be the viceroy. You could be the second in command, the Mishnah of Melech. You're a big success. We'll give you a salute and a party. You go nowhere. And by the way, when Yosef went to bury Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael, what did he have to do? Tremendous permission. Tremendous permission. And that's why they came back too, because if they didn't come back, Mitzrayim would have run right after them. Mitzrayim is you check in, but you don't check out. You can't get out of Mitzrayim. So the truth is that the Avos all hit Mitzrayim, not happily. That's the Ramban. Mitzrayim is a place you don't want to go, because it's an immoral place, it's a corrupt place, etc., etc., etc. They have no proper values. The Torah says that all the time. Kimas Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef is the first exemplar of a real English Hebrew word, Shibudi, right? Shibudist. He's really Meshubid L'Paro Mitzrayim, even though he's a big Hatzlach. So, but now it's the turn for Klai. So let's go back to the Ramban. Right? So it starts with individuals, and now comes the part that we need for our discussion. So when is the Golus complete? Right? When the individuals come out of Mitzrayim, when Avram comes back, when Yitzchak goes to Gror, Yaakov, so it doesn't really come back, he gets buried back, right? Says that when is the Golus complete? We're very interesting is so. When is the Geula of the macrocosm of Klal Yisrael complete? Of the entity of Am Yisrael? When is their Geula complete? Only when they're back in Eretz Yisrael doing what the Avos were doing. What were the Avos doing in their heyday in Eretz Yisrael? Greeting the Shechina. Zvachim, Tefillah, Karbonos, Davening, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. So only when the whole Am Yisrael will be back in Eretz Yisrael freely, and free to do what? To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only then is the real redemption complete. Until then, it's still holding, right? So when is that? Ukshiyatsu Mitzrayim, the Ramban now tells us. So when Bnei Yisrael were released, to put it in quotes, from Mitzrayim physically, they're still really in exile. Why? Physically they're free, but they're running around the Red Sea. They're fablonjit, nuvuchim, they're confused. So physically they're out, but is that the geula? Rak tchilat ha-sipur, it's only the very beginning of the story. So physical freedom doesn't mean all that much. You got to know where you're going. Ukshibaw al Har Sinai. Oh, now we're getting warmer. When they got to Har Sinai, they received the Torah. They received, as it were, a kind of tevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the others got instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the whole Klal Yisrael very directly and personally gets instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then from Moshe. The Asu Mishkan. The Geula, though, isn't complete until when? Sounds like Dayenu, right? Elul, right? Once they got the Torah, is the Geula complete? No, because where are they? The middle of Midbar Sinai. Not a place you want to stay for too long. You can't. They're only really Nigalu when they come to the Mishkan in Eretz Israel. Right? As they're going to, well, even as they're going to the Midbar, the Mishkan represents this return. Right? And then also Mishkan, Vishav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Vishresh Shechinaso Beinehem. Oh, because even though they weren't yet in Eretz Israel, but God's now ready to rest, the Shechinah's ready to rest amongst them. Oz shavu el ma'alas avosom shahayasora loak alei ahalehem. Now they've come back to the level of their forefathers. Now they're completely redeemed. Vehem heim amer kova. They're really seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as a person can see him on a high level. Oz nech shavu geulim. V'lachein nishlam ha-sefer hazeh v'hashlimo inyan ha-mishkan uviyos kvod Hashem alei oso samit. According to Ramban, how does Sefer Shmos go? It's called Sefer HaGolus VaHaGeula. Therefore, the first three parashas talk about what? The terrible suffering, the Golus. Then comes what? The physical Geula, Az Yoshir. Then the beginning pre-Matan Torah. Then comes the Mishkan. All of that is what? Is that out of order? No, it's all in perfect order. Then, unfortunately, the Torah has to tell you that on the way to what? Matan Torah with the Mishkan, Bnei Yisrael had a problem. But that's not out of order. Everything is moving in perfect formation. That first six parashas through Mishpatim, through Truma and Tetzaveh, would have been written irrespective of when the Chet HaEgel occurred or not. Yes? In other words, and Rashi does not say this explicitly to come back to him, but the Sforno does. The Sforno says for Rashi Mefurosh, and here's going to be the question for you folks, had there not been a Chet HaEgel, it's a Shaila for Rashi if there would have been a need for a Mishkan. According to Rashi, what's the job of the Mishkan? You take the gold and the silver and you make not an egel, you make the most beautiful spiritual Mishkan. It's physically magnificent, but it's the physicality leading to the spirituality. The physicality is the tofel, the ruchnius is the ikar, but it's a lot of stuff, right? All kinds of stuff. But what do you do with your stuff? You serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's according to Rashi. According to the Ramban, had there not been a Chet HaEgel, would there have been a Mishkan? 1,000,000%. B'li HaMishkan, and you Lashleiman. Oh. So now I ask you ladies, that's the beautiful machlok. It's very well done. Right? The reason it's a great, when Rishonim have a machlok, yes, both opinions make a lot of sense, right? It's not a 90-10. You can work it the Rashi way, you can work it the Ramban way. So now I ask you a question, folks. Sort of the svara. What's behind this machlokes of Rashi and Ramban? Think about it. In terms of, let me give you a little hakdarot, I'll give you categories here. In terms of the way the Torah is treating or relating to Bnei Yisrael, to the people. In other words, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. It's given with Bnei Adam. What does the Torah want from people? According to Rashi, and how does the Torah relate to people? According to Rashi and according to Ramban. Anybody want to try? I'm going to give you another example in a second. It's much easier to make a line when you have 2 points. When I give you a second point, the line will be easier to make. But anyone want to have a preliminary shot at the Hesver? According to Rashi, how is the Torah speaking to man? I don't mean man, I mean people. And according to Ramban, what is the Torah trying to do with man? Go ahead, please.
Rashi seems more like the fear oriented.
More?
The fear oriented influence actions affect what comes next, whereas Ramban seems to be saying that there's a master plan that we fit into.
Very good. That's a very good preliminary observation, right? Very good. Right? According to Rashi, let me say it a little bit. I'm going to say it. I'm going to make what I hope is a friendly amendment. I'm going to say it differently, just to sabera ta'ozen, to make it sound, pretty okarant. But that's very good. Rashi says the Torah wants to make man, people, the best people they can be, so that if man what has a problem, the Torah helps Bnei Yisrael to solve their problem. It's an amazing thing according to Rashi. Had there not been a Chet HaEgel, the way this one says, there wouldn't have been a Mishkan. If man needs a Mishkan, what does the Torah do? Here, Bubula, a Mishkan. You need a Mishkan? Here, B'nai Yisrael. We'll make you a Mishkan. According to the Ramban, you said it very nicely. How'd you say it? Man is part of the master plan. There's this beautiful goal of the Torah. And where does man fit into the goal of the Torah? We'd like man to be the greatest, people to be the greatest Jewish people they can be. Maybe even what? A little more than they thought. So just follow the plan, and you'll be able to achieve Gevaldik Azachim. Great things. So the Chet HaEgel, obviously the Ramban agrees it was a Chet Chas V'Shalom. Obviously the Ramban agrees that building the Mishkan helps that too. But the main tachlis of the Mishkan was to elevate the people to be like the Avos, to accept the Shechinah. Oh, and that's the key. Right? According to the Ramban, it's like this. According to Rashi, it's what? Not that it's low, God forbid, but it's be the best person you can be according to the Torah. The Torah doesn't want you to be a malach. The Torah wants you to be an excellent person. If B'nai Yisrael needs help, we'll give help. According to Ramban, you see man reaching up to the Shechina like the Ovis, like this. I want to be a malach. And the Torah is trying to get you, giving you, you know, a springboard. Yes? All right, hold that thought. And that was very good, Yeshua Koach. And let's now look at piece number two of this puzzle, and we'll see if it helps us. I hope it will. I think it will. Again, a famous piece in the Torah, in this case in Sefer Vayikra. The machlokes between Rashi and Ramban, and part of what I'm showing you is, this is what we call in the old French, a Welt machlokes. That's really new Yiddish. A Welt machlokes. It's a world machlokes between Rashi and Ramban. I'm going to give you three examples tonight, and your homework, that you have to do it miyad, if you'd like to try, is to find out where Ramban and Rashi do this, even in Sefer Bamidbar, even in Sefer Devarim. They do this all the time. That's part of the Kabbalah of Rishonim also. They have such world views that they can go from Sefer to Sefer, and you can see the same ideas coming out in different contexts. Again, ladies, you were very good on part one. Let's go to part two. What's the machlokas, famous machlokas, between Rashi and Ramban on the Parsha in Vayikra, on the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you? Be holy. According to... that's a good point, but that's not necessarily Machlokes Rashi Ramban. What means Kedoshim to you? And again, we'll see it on the sheets, but... what is it? Oh, good, yeah, you're good. You're on the right track, very good. I'll just unscramble the words a little bit, but it's very good, right? Kedoshim to you. Be holy. The word Kedusha here means precious. Stay away from, right? Holiness, right, is to stay away from the profane. Right? If you stay away from profane, from that which is cold, you're Kadosh. So the question is, what's the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you telling you to stay away from? In one word, you said it very nicely. I give you credit. Rashi says, precious, stay away from, min ha'asuros, particularly erva. Rashi says, listen here, what we want, the Torah wants to do is be triply certain, triple underlined, when it comes to arayos and erva and all those averis that are represented in larger categories, you have to have triple separation. How does Rashi know that? Because what happened at the end of Parshas Achrimos, which comes right before Kedoshim, we read it Yom Kippur afternoon, because Yom Kippur was a good day in Tubal, so why do we know they're good days? Those are the days when the Shidduchim were made. So therefore, when Shidduchim are being made, that's when you have to know, what is a Jewish family? First and foremost, Kimas Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Sasu. Not like the Egyptian way of doing things, Shtufei Zimo V'chulu V'chulu, that's not our way, right? Certain things are very awesome. And you can't even think about it. That's the end of Achrimos. Comes along Parshas Kedoshim and says, Nochamo, Precious min ha'asuros. If it's usur, you really gotta keep away from it. And how does Parsh Kedoshim then end? There's a lot of Kedoshim. How does it end? A replay of the Parshas Ha'arayos, like the end of Achrimos once again. So Rashi say, once, twice, three, not shoot, but once, twice, three, three, shoot. That's a bad joke. Anyway, I just thought, terrible. Anyhow, it's on the tape. Anyway, some of the best ones are the ones you don't think of until you get there. Anyway, so Rashi is precious min ha'asuros, triple on the line, you know, cardinal sins. That's what Rashi says. We'll see it inside the minute. What does the Ramban learn? You said it very nicely. The Ramban has here a very interesting yisod. So Rashi is saying you really gotta check these sort of and know where you are. There are certain things where every little kid knows. Every little Jewish kid knows. It's very interesting. I just call myself is a literature of Jews and Christians in the Middle Ages. The Christians are trying to attack the Jews on the Tanakh, and the Jews basically say, let's do what we call the Aseres HaDibros text. You claim to observe this book somehow. I know Hashem Elokecha, one God. Jewish people, check. Christians, we'll get back to it. Right? Lo Yelohim Acherim, Pesel, idols. Jewish people, check. Christians, we're working on it. Shabbos, as I viter. Right? Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinach, Lo Signo. So the text they say, not that every Jew is a tzaddik, unfortunately. Ain't tzaddik Rosh Hashanah Yechta. But they said, Jewish children, little boys and girls, they say, it's known, they dress tznius, they don't say swear words. In other words, there are these cardinal things that Jewish children, but especially the modesty and the suffering, Jewish people don't do that. I don't mean to bash anybody else here, but Jewish people don't do that. Right? So that's Rashi. What does the Ramban say? Precious min hamutaros. Stay away from things that are butter. What does that mean? It's not that he's a machmir. The Ramban's approach here is just because something is permitted doesn't mean you ought to overdo it. And we'll give the examples. Famous, these Ramban, famous examples. A person could eat whatever they want, but you shouldn't, I'm not talking about diets or about, not getting into, people are eating the right way, the wrong way, you gotta watch this out there. Me too. Talking here about people who are so interested in gluttony. Morty could eat everything. Henry VIII could eat everything. No. Please use Namutaris. Right? A person could say whatever they want. They control their mouths. But do you say Tvar and Kedoshim? Or do you say swear words? Ramban says, that's Novel Bishus HaTorah. It comes from Kedoshim to you. Just because it might be technically allowed doesn't mean you may do it. Okay? Husband and wife are committed to each other and so on. Doesn't mean that you have to go with the mores in the society and have all kinds of crazy ideas of what is supposed to be happening in a normal relationship. Precious and Mutaros, in a very positive way. Again, folks, what's the machlokas between them before we read the sign? Precious min ha'osur min ha'isur min ha'erva. Rashi, precious min ha'mutaros, yeah?
Maybe Rashi
can
move from the Azarias and the Bansoff and from that thing, like, don't do too much.
Oh, so what's the machlokas between them? With the import being correct. Really the same thing we said before. Rashi holds the Torah wants the Jewish people to be the best human beings they can be. Don't violate any biggie, don't violate any sir, but you got to really work on yourself to be the best person you can be. There are things that are usher, follow that list. Follow it carefully. The Ramban is saying what? Be a little bit like the Malach, precious man Amutaros. And we'll see in the Ramban, when I read it inside, it's even better than I said it. The Ramban says it better than I do, which is the way it's supposed to be. Right? You'll see, the Ramban is mamish trying to have the person say, not I'm a malach, and therefore I can cross the street without looking, chas v'shalom. I fly around, wave around, no. Doesn't mean in a silly way. But it means, in terms of a person's physical existence, think less physical. Again, nothing that's unhealthful, God forbid, nothing crazy. But think a little bit quieter. Let me show it to you inside, and we'll see what it is. Right? Look with Ramban on the right-hand side, Kedoshim Kiyu. Habu Prushim, when I have it, you see that little mark, there's a little sign there. Kedoshim Kiyu, this is the Ramban quoting Rashi. Habu Prushim in ha'arayus u'min ha'aveira. Shekol mokum, these are beautiful words of Rashi. Kol mokum sha'atamotze geder erva, atamotze kedusha. Right? The holiness of the Jewish people is built first and foremost on Kedushas HaMishpacha. Beautiful. And keep it very careful, Losh and Rashi. Right? The Ramban then goes, he quotes the Taras Kohanim, and he develops a long theory, skip down about 5-6 lines, these are yours to keep, you can read it inside word for word. Ulefi da'ati, end of the line on the right side. Ein ha'precious hazu lifrosh min ha'arayas kedirei ha'rav, who's the Rav? Rashi, the Rebbe, right? The Ramban loves Rashi, so he's not arguing with him because he doesn't like him. He says, I want to say something else. Aval ha'precious hi ha'muzkeres b'chol mokom b'talmud sheba'alecha nikroim prushim. It means not asceticism in that kind of sort of negative sense. It means a kind of a pietism. To be a certain frum, prushim, not in a trendy way, in a very deep, personal way. The ha'inyan ki ha'torah his hira ba'arayus of ma'holam ha'surim. The Torah has a lot of rules. What you can eat, right? What, with whom can you have relationships? V'itira b'ish, b'ishto achilas ha'bosa ba'ayayin. Torah allows a lot of stuff. The fact is the Torah allows a lot more stuff than it disallows. We don't think about that. We're so worried about the surim that we're considering, right? In Cain, imotzei bal ha'tayva mokum lo shtoshotu b'zimas ishto lo noshav ha'rabos. So on paper, a person could technically be with their own wife and just be out of control. That's not allowed. The Leos Pesove Yayin Bezole Bosolomo. Person could eat kosher meat and drink kosher wine 23 hours a day if they wanted. They get sick, but they could keep going. The Daber Kirtzano. Person could say anything. Here's the part that we always get taught in school. Since I'm a little boy, they're teaching this. Well, that was in the late Middle Ages. They're still teaching it. Bechol Nevolo Shlo Huskar Isuze Batola. Doesn't say anywhere, don't curse in the Torah. Doesn't say that. I'm not suggesting it does. Kedoshim Tiyah. Stay away from things that are technically permitted. You could say whatever you want. Aval ze asur. It's not allowed. The hinei yihye novo b'shus ha-Torah. That's a famous expression. You can be what? An abomination with the Torah's permission. You can be a legend in your own mind. A definite disaster. Right. Lefikach bo ha-tosav acharei shepirei to asurim she'asur asam legamrei. So that's why in Acharei Mos it tells you what the Arayas are. The Ramban agrees with every one of them twice. Now it tells you, in addition to the things that are usher minei bay, ipso facto, there are things, there are permitted behaviors that should be not minimized, but certainly controlled carefully. In a religious sense, I'm not talking again about personal development, that's a different issue, that's a parallel. Ketziva b'davar kalisha niya prushim min hamutaros. Stay away from things that are permitted. Isn't interesting? Just because it's mutar don't mean you gotta do it. Very interesting. And Ram Kippan gives a whole bunch of examples. If you skip a little bit, he says, and that's what the Nazir is about, the very difficult parsha of the Nazir. That's what's the Nazir about? The Nazir is the person who can stay away completely from wine. If he drinks wine, it's violent and horrible, listen. The Kaddish Atzman Hayayin B'mi'uto. And by the way, Sir Ramban is saying, you could either be an official Nazir, or you could be what? An honorary Nazir. The person who says, drinking is not for me. Some people like it. They feel comfortable. They're not shikori. I'm not such a person. There used to be studies when I was a kid, I don't know if it's true anymore, where they said that Jewish people had lower alcoholism rates because Jews make kiddush every Friday night. Say no. On Friday night they have a little bit of wine. On Shabbos they have a little bit of wine. Other than that, not too much wine. They have it permitted. And that's right. That's what the Rabban says. Keep it under good control. Yeah, that's literally what he's saying. So you could be an official Nazir with a capital Nun, or you could be like a junior Nazir. You're not overboarding it when it comes to these things. In today's world, that would be a very good answer. The Torah says the Nazir is a holy person. The holiness is that he's controlling this. Listen, the Torah tells you what happens with too much wine. Not such good things happen, to put it mildly. Even not getting involved in things that are impure. There's no isser to become tamei in the Torah. But a kadosh person, again, today you can't help it, but the Gemara talks about the fact that the Amoroyim, even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, try to eat certain foods v'tara. It's aiming to maintain this level of purity. And that's the pshat in the Yisid Kadoshim. And if you look at the very end, and again, I'm not trying to rush the piece, but we have to finish in time, but you'll take a look. If you look at the very end, where the paragraph sort of breaks towards the bottom, that I pasted a little funny. The Tam HaKos of Sha'amar HaKadosh Yino Shalom Kechem. Here the Ramban gives you the underpinning. What does it mean to be holy like God? Lomar Sha'anachdin is Helev Dofka Bobi Yosei Yukidosh. Oh. In the Ramban's thinking, the Ramban's thought and spiritual vocabulary, what does Kedusha lead to Kedosh? The Vekas Vashem. How does that work? If I'm going to eat, if I'm going to think less about the pleasures of food, if I'm going to stay away from wine, if I'm not going to have nivul peh, how does that create the vekas? Ramban says very simply. Because what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Non-physical. So the less physical I am, the less obsessed I am, overboard the physicality, the closer I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about it for a second. Do you know where else the Ramban talks about the Vekas? He talks about it in two or three other places in the Perush HaChumash. It's a very important Yesod. Right, where else did Ramban talk about it? At the end of Parashat Bereishis, right? The Ramban talks about what would have happened had man not got been thrown out of the Gan Eden. Right? The animals wouldn't have eaten the man, and the man wouldn't have eaten the animals. Right? What would man have eaten according to Ramban? If you look carefully there, he would have eaten a lot of fruits and vegetables, not just because it's healthy. Right? The trees in the Gan, the barks tasted like the fruit. The four-legged animals ate what? The low-lying grasses. The two-legged Homo sapiens in the Gan Eden ate what? Fruits and vegetables. Growing plants. Right? They were not carnivorous, animal eating. They were herbivorous. What? Now, by the way, I don't know if the Ramban supports vegetarianism as a whole. This isn't Gan Eden. That would have been the case. Why? Because if you're sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Heavy food. I'm not just talking about healthful and calories and those kind of things. But heavy food is the antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar, when they were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did they eat? Mon. The Gemara Numa calls Mon what? Lechem Abirim, the breakfast of champions. That's the funny translation. The real translation is, that's the food of the Malachim, of the Abirim, of the princes. And there's an opinion of the Gemara that when you ate the Mon, you didn't go to the bathroom. It went in, didn't come out the normal way. Because again, you're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu pizza, there's less physicality. So you rise to the Vekas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Yom Kabbali, it's part of Ramban's Kabbalah. We're not going to do that now. But that's really part of Ramban's Torah Sasol. But the Ramban, the Niglet part of it is, again, so in the case of the Mishkan for the Ramban, what's the goal of the Mishkan? What's the whole goal there? Not to help. Yes, it will help after Chet HaEgel. The Ramban doesn't disagree. But its primary purpose was to elevate man to accept the Shekhinah, to reach up, be an angel, a little bit. Ashtikal HaMalach. What's the goal of Kedosh and Tehil? Be Ashtikal HaMalach. For Rashi, what's the goal of the Mishkan? To help man recover and be the best man he can be. That's, of course, Baruch could do that. He could change the whole plan just to help man. No problem. The Torah is ready to do that. And what's the goal of Kedosh and Tehil? Don't do one thing more that you're not supposed to than what you're not supposed to. But do those things very, very, very well. Kedosh and Tehil, triple underline, precious Menachem Yisrael. Yes? So we see this Ramban and Rashi tremendously in Sefer Shmos. We see this Ramban and Rashi tremendously in Sefer Vayikra, Kedosh and Tehil. Let me give you a little example in Sefer Bereishis. And as I say, you can ring in, we'll leave you my email. If you want to ring in on what you find in Bamidbar and Dvarim, there may be other examples in these Svarim too. That's how, you know, that's how I realized this must be a machlokas going somewhere. Because if you find it once and twice and three times, Zikvah Masha. And again, Rashi and Ramban keep coming to it because they want us to understand very well. The example that I want to use in Sefer Bereishis comes from the Akedah. The Akedah. And here you have a machlokas, a famous machlokas, between the Ramban and the Rambam. But I'm going to show you that Rashi holds like the Rambam. Rashi says very few words here. Kedarko Bakodesh, very brief. Right? That same Rebbe who used to start the Tosfos on the ground floor, the first day of Shiur, he got to the top floor, and he had the Shiur on the fourth floor. He got off the elevator. I think the first day he didn't start the Shiur in the basement because he thought he had Rachmanis on us. But he came in and he announced, we're learning Masechet Sanhedrin, gentlemen, Rashi was the great apocopator. And we said, we didn't even know he was ill. Means brevity, right? Rashi can say in two words what it takes everybody else to say 40 words. Anyway, so then the next day already, he was already not going back. Anyway, but we learned, it was good. Anyhow, let's look at the Parsha Akedah. What's the machlok? Does anybody know what the machlok is? Ram and Ramban is in Parsha Akedah and Bereishis? I'm taking you through the whole Torah today. Finish Chazak, Chazak, finish Bereishis, Lach Shmos. I say, we'll do only three Svarim. That's enough for today. Right? What's the machlokas? Ram and Ramban, famous machlokas. Again, don't feel, I'm not going to feel him, I just want to try to evoke it from you. Famous machlokas about the goal of the Akedah, right? Ha'elokim Nisa es Avraham. He tested Avraham. What kind of a test? Right? This whole business, it's a flag, it's waving the flag, it's testing. Yeah? What do you say? Somebody want to guess or say? What's the machlokas? Rambam and Ramban. No. The Rambam, by the way, is quoted by the Rambam, so that's how you know it better. It's not something. Yeah, go ahead.
Whether or not Avraham was going to actually carry the pizza in the end?
Oh, so that's what may emerge. You're right, but back up the movie and say, you know, rewind the film a minute. Before we get to that, why was it being proposed? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was he mitzaveh? You're right. Part of the nafkamina may be, was it going to happen or not, in theory. But why was he mitzava Abraham to do the Arkadia? And Yitzchak to be part of the Arkadia, yeah?
Because he was trying to see if he could step outside of his intellectual satisfaction.
Very interesting. So that's, right, so that's for whom? Yeah, I'm saying, but which, the Ramban? Okay, so good, so you get it, you're bringing us to the correct point. In other words, the question was, the Rambam in effect asks a fundamental question, really. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what Abraham's going to do, so why, you know, in other words, sort of, why are we acting this out? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows Abraham's going to be able to do this, so why are we acting it out? So the Ram says, indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't ask Abraham and Yitzchak to do the Akedah because he wanted to see, are they doing a good job? Rather, he says, Nace, it's a flag, wave the flag. Show people that the nature of my relationship with man is what? The old saying goes, and I don't think the Ram says this exactly, but it wouldn't be bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us nisyonos that we can pass. He doesn't give a person a test that they can't pass. You see, people have unbelievable tzaros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, kaviyachol, that such a person can pass the test, and therefore he gives the person the test to try to, you know, right, to help him to do it. In this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham and Yitzchak a very, 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 very terrible looking test, which he knew they could pass. He didn't need it because of them. He knew they could pass. But what did he need for? Show the people. Show everybody. We're not being asked to do an Akeda, God forbid. Right? Hopefully not. We get lesser tests. But show B'nai Yisrael that people are going to be tested, and they can pass the test. They can pass it with flying colors. It's a nace. Wave the flag. Show the true colors. It's like, if Bet'ai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, so to speak, could you do me a favor here? I don't mean it in a silly sense, but could you help me here? We need you and Yitzchak to pass the test, to show people what is possible, the potential of man. Right? Say, but I'm not Avraham. No, but just the old Hasidish of art, right? Rav Zusha was a great Hasidish Rav. He was on his deathbed, and he was his students came to see him. He's crying, and he says, Rav Zusha, why are you crying? You're a great tzaddik. You're going to Olam Haba. So he said, I'm not worried when I get to Shamayim that they're going to ask me, why aren't you like Avraham Avinu? I'm not Avraham Avinu. And I'm not worried, you know how it goes, they're going to ask me, why weren't you like Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm Zusha, I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. But I'm worried in Shamayim, you're going to ask me, Rav Zusha, why weren't you like Zusha? Right? That's the Ramban, so to speak. The Ramban has a different way to do it. Kachal Apoa. Very good. That's the key. That's what I like. See, I like that. I like to schlep it out because when I start schlepping, people give it to me. Very good. Terrific. Because you know it. Good. Excellent. Lahotzi minak kachal Apoa. The other way, Avraham and Yitzchak had indeed achieved a tremendously high level as human beings. They were like Malachim. They were like unbelievable. By the way, that's who talks to Avraham. Malachim. Right? Regular people. You ever see anybody regular talk to Avraham? Those Malachim. These Malachim. Once in a while, get stuck with Lot and the roof falls in stone. That's a problem. But even then, they're Malachim, right? Avraham talks to Malachim. And he seems to understand what they say. Right? If Malachim talked to us, we'd go, huh? Right? They're like Malachim. Lahotzim and Akach Lapoa. God wants them to exercise their full angelic capacity. And that's why it almost seems inhuman at the Arkadia. How could you make a father do that? And the son and the father. It was a little bit, I don't mean inhumane, but it is a little bit unusual. Because they're really playing at such a high level. And of course, Baruch Hu wanted them to have the schar for reaching that height. Again, so what's the machlokas between the Rambam and Ramban? Rambam is saying, we want man to be the best man he can be. Therefore, send Avraham Yitzchak out there, show the people how to do it. Show them how to be over there, Hashem, please. And they say, of course we will. Ramban is saying, what's the purpose of that Akedah? Make Malachim. We have two people who pass the test with flying colors. I'll show you, Rashi holds like the Rambam here. I'll show you how I know it. All right, let's look inside quickly. We're almost done. The Ramban says, Ha'elokim nisas Avraham inon hanisayon hulidati bavur heyos masa dem rishus muchletes biyada. People have complete free choice. If Yirtzi Yasev, Im Lo Yirtzi Lo Yasev, Yikari Yisari Yitzara Nusev. If you have a choice, you can decide yes or no, that's called a Nisayon, that's called a test. Will you make the right choice? Aval HaMenasi is Baruch Yitzav V'lahotzei HaDover Min HaKoach El HaPoa. So that's Nisayon, it means it was a test. Is I give you one final test to show that you've earned on the Malach scale 110 out of 100 points. It's A plus. Lios lo sachar maisa tov, lo sachar leiv tov bilvad. You're not just legends in your own mind, you really did it. That's a major achievement. Vidak Yashem Sadiki Bachain, and so on and so forth. That's what the Ramban says. What does Rashi say? How do I know that Rashi holds like the Ramban? Rashi says very few words here. But look at the pasuk. When God asks Abram to take Yitzchak to the Akedah, what does he say? Kach? No. Please. Pretty please. Do me a favor. Right? Yiddish. I'm asking you. Ein no eloshon bakosha. I need you, Avram, to do me a favor. What means HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs him to do me a favor? It doesn't mean literally. I need you to show the people what to do. You're a degem. You're a flag. A degem and a degem. You're a nace, right? The nace is a flag in the Torah also. Shelo yomru harishonos v'ayamehem mamish. I need to show that this could be done. So once again, all three of these places, ladies, I think we've succeeded. I'm going to make one final comment in showing that what? Rashi's interpretation is the Torah wants human beings to be the best they can be. That's how he learns the Binyan HaMishkan. And then therefore it's out of order, because it only happened because of the Chet HaEgel. Otherwise there might not have been a Binyan HaMishkan when Rashi Sfarno says it explicitly. And that's how he learns Kedoshim Tiyu. The best person you can be out the Torah. Triple underline, not to do the Arayus and the Averis and so on. Be triply sure that you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Not one thing more, but everything you're supposed to be doing as perfectly as possible, as well as possible. And when it comes to the Arkada, please, Avraham, show the people how to be better people. Right? So they're being mobilized by Kodesh Baruch. Masha'en came the Ramban. The Torah would like us to try to be a shtickle like Malachim. And therefore, it wants us to meet the Shechina, and therefore the Bnei Yisrael have to go out and not only have Matan Torah, not only have physical freedom before that, but have a Binyan HaMishkan, Shechina, like the Avos. What's happening in the whole Sefer Bereishis? The Avos are talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're davening, they're going to recreate it. One, right? Kedoshim Tiyu, Kedusha Min HaMutar, Precious Min HaMutaros, right? Think a little bit less physically, right? Think higher, go higher, achieve the Vegas Bashem. I need it. How often? One. Yeah. And the Arkada also, right, very nicely, holds him in a kochel pole. You're over here. You're higher than I can jump. We want to see that for yourselves. We're entitled to that schar. I'll give you a moshel, which is not, you know, it's not a lumdish moshel, but I think it's a good life moshel. I don't know how many of you are involved in sports or other things. I'm obsessed a little with sports, but that's a problem. That's my oldest grandson, the oldest now brother of these four over here. He's so worried about the Giants. So the problem is he's 8 years old. He knows mamish statistics better than I knew them. So now we just got to sneak him over and give him the stuff. I got to quickly give him by a poster. Anyway, he's just tzibrochen because he's telling me this guy's not playing well. He's got a new brother. He's telling me about this guy and that guy. I'm all right, it's going to be okay. So that's I'm good. And I got to start stooping the list. Anyway, here's a sports analogy. Probably learned it from me. Here's a sports analogy, but he's better. The sports analogy goes like this. Two types of coaches. Right? Coaches are in the news today in the States, of course, they can't get it. They're actually in the news here, too. I cannot follow those really. I don't know. Can't figure it out. But the same kind of problem. Two types of coaches. Right? A coach who says to his players, could be a female coach, could be, you know, think of your sports, right? The coach says, you, player X, have good abilities. You have a great shot. You can run. You can do this. I want you to be 100% effective as a shooter and a runner, whatever, you know, a basketball shooter, I mean, like a country, right? I want you to be 100% as effective as you can be in those things that you do well. Give me your all. I don't ask you to be, you're not a great defender? Okay, you learn a little bit. But those things that you do great, mamish make them great. This is Lahaba, it's a good marshal. Then there's the coach who says, you know, these starry-eyed coaches, but they're very good, very inspirational. I want you to play beyond your abilities. We're going to go up to them. And you're going to think you can only do one and two and three things? You can do seven things. And the coach is, you know, in that sense, motivating them to play past their ability, to play even higher. which approach is right? Lahavdil elu ve'elu. They're both right. In other words, one says go with something that a person can do more easily, or they can do it perhaps therefore more effectively. And the other approach says go for the reach for the stars. Lahavdil, that's the machlokas Rashi and Rambam. Now, who do we pass like? So it's Hashkafa. We don't have to pass like anyone here. We can choose. And if you're like me, you'd probably say, well, I think Rashi has a very good plan over here. It's enough. Dayecha mashas for Torah. We have enough mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem. A lot of halachas out there. It's hard to keep them all going. Let's make sure we can do what we're supposed to be doing. But I guess I'm here to say that as we come to this beautiful Sefer Shmos, Ramban has a wonderful nekuda to reach the Shechina. If we can keep a little bit of the Ramban's idea, we could do that too a little bit, right? We could perhaps reach a little bit beyond ourselves, maybe. Not talking often about asceticism, not talking about, you know, living on some deserted island, chas v'shalom b'chas v'shalom. But in our own lives, the world is so caught up in physicality of every dimension, which is not only bad because of that. If you're caught up in all that stuff, where's the Torah? Where's the learning? Where's the machshava? That's getting crowded out. So I would like to ask, you know, again, I leave it with you, but I would like to suggest that even if we will, since we're regular people, and to aspire to the Ramban, we will, oh, that's not simple. All right. If we do like Rashi, we'll have done a tremendous amount. But we can learn the Ramban too. So folks, thank you very much. I'll answer a question that happened here. I'll just say, this is what we do at Stern College. This is what you do here. Those who would like to learn with us, we'd love to have you. We'll talk to you even if we don't have you. It's not a matter of talking. We learn with everybody. But also, if you want to add on, Bamidbar and Dvarim, we'll take the email. And this is Ayala Curlin, right? Curlin Dirt, right? In other words, related to, we don't know how she's related to the Curlins, but anyway, we're making it up. Anyway, she's our YU representative, and she will be, unfortunately,